Now moving on to Mishnah Beis, we're going to have different opinions. Chavis, when we have a barrel, if we want to mitar it, shira begregres, the shear that the hole has to be is the size of a gregeres, of a dried fig. The Reb Shimon, it's Reb Shimon's opinion, that's referring to a barrel that holds figs. So the hole has to be large enough to let a fig through it. Reb Yehuda, Reb Yehuda says, begoizim, the hole only has to be large enough to let a nut through. Now that's larger than a zayas, but it's smaller than a gregeres. And Reb Meir says, he's just like the Tana of the previous Mishnah, bezesim, the hole only has to be large enough to let an olive through. On to the next one, halafas vakadera, a pan or pot. Shirim bezesim, the shears with olives, that's similar to the previous Mishnah. Onto other kelim, these hold liquids, and we're going to see over here as well that there's a difference in what type of liquid it's meant to hold. Hapach v'atafi, which are two different kelim that usually hold oil, shirim b'shemen. The shear that the hole has to be of kainis mashka is shemen, and v'atzartzur, which you know from a previous Mishnah is a water bottle, shear b'mayim, so the shear is with water. Now Reb Shimon Omer, he argues and says that shloshdan b'zer einim, all three of these kelim, the size of the hole that has to be made in order to mitire them, is with zer einim, which literally means seeds, and it would have to be like an average size edible seed, such as a bean or a pea, and that's because he holds that these kelim, even though they are usually used for liquids, sometimes they're used for holding seeds, and therefore that's the size the hole has to be made. What about the next kli? Ner, a lamp, shear b'shemen, so the shear is with oil, because that's what a lamp holds. However, Blazar Amir, he holds b'pruta ketana, it's with a small pruta, and that's because sometimes a person will use their lamp for holding coins, so that's why it has to be the size of a small pruta. Now, another thing regarding a lamp, ner shenot al piv, tahar, if the tip of the lamp was knocked off, so then it's tahar, it's not makabel toma. What does that mean? So the classic ner back in the day was basically like a bowl of sorts that had a protrusion coming out of it, which is where the wick was placed. That wick fed into the oil that was in the bowl part, and then the wick was lit, drawing from the oil. So if that tip, the mouth of it, where the wick went, was knocked off, so it's matar the ner, because it's not considered a lamp anymore. It's not usable. More and more din about a ner, v'shal adama, if it was made out of earth, which means it was made out of clay, it was a kli cheres. However, the reason why we're calling it adama is because it was never finished. It was just made out of soft clay, formed into the shape of a lamp, but it was never placed into the kivshan. It was never put in the kiln, so it was never finished. This actually doesn't even have the status of a lamp at all in regards to Tumah Tahara, and therefore, even Shehusak Piv Bat Psila, it could be that it was used as a lamp and the mouth of it was already blackened by a wick because it was used and the wick blackened it. So you might say, okay, that's considered like putting in the furnace, the kiln, and making it into a lamp. No, tar, it's tar, it can't be Makabel Tumah because since it was never properly made, the whole lamp wasn't put into this kiln, so it's not considered a kli in regards to Tumah and Tahara. And we continue discussing what we had started at the beginning of the parak, which is that when we have a kli cheres that became tamei, if a hole was made in it, so that's metaharet, and it loses its status of a kli. Now let's say that hole was plugged up again, so now it regains its status of a kli, it's just viewed as regular plain old kli cheres, and it could become tamei again. However, now we're going to bring in the halacha of the previous prakim, chavis shenikva v'asa bezefes, if a chavis had a hole made in it, and then it was sealed up with zefes, with pitch, and so now it's just a regular kli, Nishbra, and then it broke. So we already know from previous prakim that if we have a piece which is able to stand on its own and it's able to hold a certain amount of liquid in it, so that's considered a kli and it's able to be makabel toma. So here we discuss that same din just in regards to the piece that had the hole in it, which was then plugged up. So im yesh b'makam hazefes machzik revias tameya. If in the place that has the zefes in it, the plug of the hole, if that's able to hold revias, it's able to be makabel toma. Why is that? Because it never lost its din of a kli. It's just considered like part of the regular kli cheres and everything's fine. It's able to be kabel toma because it's able to be used. It's able to hold a revias. However, says the Mishnah, cheres shenikav v'asoy bezefes. If we have a broken piece of pottery that had a hole in it, and then he plugged up that hole, avol pisha machzik revias. Even though it's able to hold a revias, tar, it's not makabel toma. Why is that? Menishem batal shem kli me'alav, because it already lost its din of a kli. In other words, the difference between the reisha and the seifa of the Mishnah is that in the reisha, the hole was plugged up when it had the status of a kli. So now, even though it broke, if that piece that had the hole in it is still able to be used, so it's like it's coming from a kli and it has the din of all the previous Mishnayos. However, if only after it broke, then he plugged up the hole, so that piece of pottery didn't have the din of a kli anyway, and so it doesn't get the din of a kli just because he plugged it up. Moving on to Mishnah Dalet, continue to discuss similar cases. Chavis shenisroi a'a utfal beglalim. Let's say he has a barrel that got weakened. It had a bunch of cracks in it, and it was so weak it's not even able to hold a certain amount of dried figs without breaking. But then what did he do? He smeared it with glalim, which is animal dung that was often used to either make kalim themselves or as some sort of cement like glue to hold other things together. So that's what the person did. He took these glalim, this animal dung, and put it around this weakened kli, holding it together. Even if he removes the glalim, he removes this coating on the outside, all the pieces are going to fall apart. Tameya, it's still able to be makabel toma, because it never lost its status of a kli. In other words, he managed to strengthen it before it broke, and so now, even if he took off the coating, he removed the glue, it would break. It's not a problem, since he hasn't done that, and it's currently partially whole, it's considered a kli, and it's able to be makabel toma. However, let's say nishbara, he had a kli that broke, and then v'dibik m'mena charses, he took all the pieces and connected them together, remaking the kli, oy shehevi charses makam acher, or he bought a piece of pottery from a different place and attached it to this broken one, and then utfalon beglalim, shmir the glalim on it, afal pishu noital glalim, v'charasin oimdim. In this situation, even if he's going to remove the glalim, and the pieces that he had connected together are going to stay, they're going to hold strong and they're not going to fall apart. Nonetheless, tahira, it's not mekabel toma b'mneisha batal shem kli me'alea, because it already lost its status of a kli prior, and connecting it with the glalim doesn't now give it the shame of a kli. However, it still hasn't completely lost its status of a kli. Hayabach charis machzak revias. Let's say this broken kli, which he had subsequently pieced back together, has at least one piece that's able to hold revias. So as we know from previous mishnayos, that is considered a kli, which is able to mekabel toma like a regular kli charis, and therefore kula mitame b'maga, all the other pieces of this kli are mitame b'maga. If they're touched by toma, so they're going to become tame, and that's because they're considered the yad, the handle, or the extension of this one piece that has the din of a kli, and uchenegdoi mitame ba'avir. Corresponding to that piece itself, it will even become tame ba'avir because that's considered regular kli charis. So if a sheretz goes in the airspace of that one piece, it's going to become tame. And the Mishnah tells us hatovel kli charis habari. Somebody takes a good, healthy kli charis. There's nothing wrong with it. It's not cracked. It's not broken. And he coats the outside of it. So may Rav Shem Metamin. They say it's tame, meaning the coating that which he put on the outside is part and parcel of the kli. So if the kli is tame, something that touches the outside of the kli is also going to be tame. Whereas the Chamer and the Chum say that no, hatovel is habari tahar. If he coats the outside of a kli that's healthy, that's good, that coating is tahar. It's nothing to do with the kli. It's only v'sara'ua tame. If he coats a ra'ua, a weak, chetzi broken kli, so then the coating is tame because it's needed to strengthen the kli. V'chein in the same machlokes is b'chiduk hakeruya, with the belt and that which goes around this keruya. Now, what exactly is a keruya? So it's fairly normal back in the day to take a gourd, hollow it out, and use it as a pitcher. Think a butternut squash which is standing up. You cut off the top, hollow it out. That's a really handy kli that you could use for water or storing liquids or something like that. And often, in order to strengthen it, they'd put a wood or metal belt around it. Now, it's the same machlokes. The Rambam hold that even if this is a strong hollowed out gourd, it doesn't need the extra strengthening. Still, this wood or metal ring that's put around it is considered part of it and would become tummy with it. Whereas the Chum hold, that's only if it might break. So then you have to have it around. That's considered part of it. But if it's healthy and good and strong, then this added ring around it is not part of it. Moving on to Mishnah Vav, Yablis, which is some sort of herb or grass, Shetiflin Basa Pitasin, which is used to coat pitasin, coat barrels. It's basically used as a sealant of sorts. Hanugea ba tame. If one touches it, he's tame, which means if the kli became tame, so if something touched the outside, touched this coating, the sealant, it's tame. That's because it's part of it. However, Megufas Chavis, Ein Achibur, the plug, the stopper, the top of a barrel, is not considered connected to it. Even if it's sealed down, it's still considered separate from the barrel. And therefore, even if the barrel is tame, something that touches the magufa, the cover, it's not going to become tame. However, hanegeh b'tipulei shel tanur tame. If something touches the coating of an oven, so then it is tame. Of course, we're talking about an earthenware oven, and what they would do in order to insulate it and ensure that the heat stayed inside and that it was able to cook things for longer, they would coat it with some sort of clay or cement or something like that to make it nice and insulated. So that's part and parcel of the oven. So if the oven itself became tame, the coating on the outside is also considered tame, and if food or liquid touches the outside of it, it's going to be tame. And the Mishnah tells us, mecham, an urn or a kettle. This is basically a kli that was used to boil water. Shetvali b'chaymer u'b'charses, that he coated with either chaymer or charses. So anegeh b'chaymer tame u'b'charses tahar. If food or drink touches the coating that's made out of chaymer, so then it's tame, but if it touches the charses, then it's tahar. What's the difference? So chaymer is thick clay. It binds really well to this urn or this kettle, and therefore it's considered part and parcel of it. Memele, if the kettle had become tame, so this chaymer, this thick clay coating on the outside, also is tame. However, charsis is like a thin coating of sorts, which does not bind very well to it and often crumbles and falls off, so it's not considered part of it. The Mishnah continues with a similar kli, kumkum, which is like a large urn of sorts that's not meant for boiling water, it's really meant for storing hot liquids. Shanika, I've got a hole in it. We know based off of earlier prakim, now the kli is not able to be makabel toma because it has a hole in it, but then vasoi bezefes, he sealed up that hole with zefes, which is pitch. So Rabbi Yossi Matar, Rabbi Yossi says it's still not able to be makabel toma. Shani yachol kabel asacham in kotzainin, because it's not able to hold hot liquids like it is able to hold cold liquids, since zefes will often dissolve in hot water, and this is a kli that's meant for hot water. So even though it could hold cold water, it doesn't make a difference. Since it's not able to hold hot water, it's not able to be makabel toma. And v'chenoi arm b'klei zefes, the same exact thing is with a kli made out of zefes, since it can't hold hot water, so it's not able to be makabel toma. Now more about zefes, klei nechayshes shezefasan tahirin, copper kalim that were coated with zefes are tahar. That's because there's no need for them to be coated. There's no purpose. So the zephyr's coating has nothing to do with it, and therefore it's going to be tahar. However, if Kodim Liyayin Tmeyin. If it was coated for storing wine, so then it is Makabel Toma. In this situation, the pitch is lined on the inside of the kli in order to store wine to prevent it from getting ruined from the copper. And over here, it is part of the kli, and therefore it's Makabel Toma with it. Moving on to Mishnah Ches, Chavez Shenikva Vasa Bezefes Yoisim Mitzarcha. Let's say we have a barrel that got a hole in it, and then it was sealed up with Zefes, but it was more than necessary, which means either a very thick layer of Zefes put in it. Let's say the thickness of the wall of the kli itself was half of an inch, but he put an inch worth of Zefes there, or it could be that the hole was just, let's say, 1 inch wide, and he ended up putting not only 1 inch of a Zefes to seal up the hole, but also smeared Zefes around where the hole was, so that's more than necessary. That extra Zefes is not needed. So I gave a tzarcha, tamei, but yosem tzarcha, tahar. If something touches the Zefes, which is necessary, so it comes tamei, but if it touched the extra Zefes, then it's tahar. Another din, Zefes shenatva ala chavis. Let's say just regular plain old pitch dripped onto a chavis. It wasn't used for sealing up a hole. It wasn't needed for anything. So I give a tar. Something that touches it is tahar because it's not part of the kli at all. Now another din with Zefes, mashpech shal eitz v'shal cheres shepkaka b'zefes, a wooden or earthenware funnel that was plugged up with Zefes, so now it could hold something because the hole of the funnel is closed. So Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah metabe. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah says kum kabel toma because it's a regular kli. Whereas Rabbi Kiva metabe b'shal eitz metabe b'shal cheres. Rabbi Kiva says only with the wooden one it could become tame, but not the cheres. That's because this bottom of the funnel, which is plugged up with the Zefes, is very smooth at that area, and therefore the pitch doesn't really seal to it properly. So when we're dealing with a wood funnel, the reason why it's going to be kabel toma is because Zefes actually comes from wood, and so that's considered min b'mina. It's the same exact min. It's the same type. It's the same species as the kli, and therefore, even though the seal is not good and solid and might fall out, it's still going to be kabel toma. But cheres, pottery, has nothing to do with Zefes. It's not the same min, and as we said, it's not a good seal, so it's not kabel toma. Lastly, Rabbi Yossi Matar b'shneim. Rabbi Yossi says that both of them can't be kabel toma, and that's because it's not a good seal. Bottom line is, though, we paskin like Rabbi Kiva. And we can discuss some dinim of a piece that broke off a kli cheres and whether or not it still has the ability to mekabel toma. So Mishnah tells us cheres she'ena yochalam b'pnei aznai. We have a broken piece of cheres, broken piece of pottery, and technically it has the shear inside that it could hold enough liquid that it still would have been mekabel toma. However, it's not able to stand on its own because it has an oizen. That's the piece that had the handle on it. So now when you try to lay it down, it doesn't stay straight and it tilts to the side. Or it has some sort of other sharp part of it sticking out, and the sharp part leans it, tilts it to the side. So when you lay it down and you try to put some liquid in it, it simply won't be able to hold. Again, not because it's not large enough, it is large enough. It's just that way that it lays on the floor, it tilts to the side and the liquid won't be able to stay in it. So it's not able to be mekabel toma because it's not considered a usable piece. And furthermore, nitla ha'ozen, if that handle now was removed, so now it could lay down flat, or nishbar achidod, the sharp piece that was sticking out that was preventing it, that also broke off. So now it's able to lay down flat, still tahar, it's not able to be mekabel toma because since originally when it had broken off of the main kli, it wasn't able to be used because of the handle, that sharp part. So even though now it could be used, it doesn't make a difference. It's still not able to be mekabel toma. However, Rabbi Yehuda Matami, in this situation, Rabbi Yehuda says it could be mekabel toma. On to another case. We have a barrel that the bottom of it fell out or it was knocked out. So you can't stand the barrel upright because whatever you put inside is just going to go right at the bottom. However, if you lay it on its side, that's what it means mekabel sadafnei seha. If you lay it on its walls, so now you could put stuff into it. Or this barrel just got split into two, like two arevis. The word arevis is often used to describe a trough, which is basically that long, narrow, clear bowl of sorts that animals eat out of. That's not referring to a trough over here. It's just that's the concept. It's basically a long and narrow kli because, again, this barrel is split into two. So Rabbi Yehuda Matar, Racham Metamin, Rabbi Yehuda says it cannot be mekabel toma, whereas Racham say it could be mekabel toma, and that's because Rabbi Yehuda holds that a barrel is meant to be stood upright, and if it can't be used like that, then it's not considered a kli, even though technically you found some sort of other use for it. Whereas Racham would say that no, sometimes a barrel is turned on its side and stuff is put in it like that, therefore it could be mekabel toma. Moving on to Mishnah Beis, Chavetz Shenisrei A'a, a barrel that did not yet break, however it's very weak, maybe it has a bunch of cracks in it, and it's so weak you can't even put half a kav of dried figs in it and carry it around because that would cause it to break fully. Tahira, it's not mekabel toma. That's because it's not properly usable. Now what about the following? Gistera Shenisrei A'a Ve'inim Kabalas Mashken. Now we've had this word gistera before, and this is the way the Mishnah describes a piece that broke off of a kli, and we had many Mishnayos discussing how large that gistera has to be, and the general idea is that if it's able to hold a certain amount, then it still could be mekabel toma. So let's say we have this gistera, it was a piece that had already broken off, and it still is able to be mekabel toma because it was able to be used. However, now this gistera itself got weakened and got some cracks in it, and it's not able to hold liquid. Liquid leaks out of it. So afal pi shemekabel sachlin, even though you could put food in it because it doesn't have holes, it just has a few cracks or whatever it is, maybe very small holes. So liquids are a problem, but foods are not a problem. Still, tahar. Taira, it's not Mekabel Tuma. Why is that? She'ein Shirayin L'Shirayin. We don't have leftovers for leftovers. What does that mean? So the whole reason why this Gistra, this broken piece, is able to be Mekabel Tuma is because it does have some sort of use, even though it's not the main Kli, it just broke off the main Kli. It's still considered Chashuv enough to have its own status as a Kli because it could be used for something. And that's the first word, Shirayim. It's a remnant, it's a leftover of the main Kli. However, now that this Gistra has been weakened, it's not able to be used 100%, so now it's not considered a Kli anymore because Ein Shirayim L'Shirayim. We don't say a thing that's considered a leftover could be considered to have a stage that it also is a leftover that's only able to be used for a partial usage of what it was originally used for, and therefore it's not Mekabel Tuma anymore. And we just learned at the end of the previous Mishnah that a Gistra, a piece that had broken off of a Kli Cheres, so we already know from earlier Mishnayos that it's able to hold a certain amount, still able to be Mekabel Tuma. However, what we have just learned was that if now that piece itself is not able to be used for 100% of its new usage, for example, it got some cracks in it and it's not able to hold liquid, it could hold solids but not liquid, so it's already not considered a Kli anymore because anyway, it's a broken piece from a main Kli and therefore we say it's not usable anymore. So we further discuss this. Is we Gistra, what would give a piece the status of a Gistra that it's considered now a broken piece, and if it even gets a little bit of a crack that liquid's going to leak out of it, it can't be Mekabel Tuma anymore. So here's the big Chiddush, Kol Shenitlu Azneha, even if just the handle was broken off. For example, you have a big barrel that's perfectly fine, there's no cracks in it, and all that happened is that the handle broke off of it. So now it's challenging. You're not able to carry this barrel around with ease because, again, it doesn't have a handle. That barrel is now considered a Gistra. It's still even Mekabel Tuma because you are able to use it. However, if it even develops a few cracks that you're not going to be able to put liquid in it, even though, again, it could still be used for solids, doesn't make a difference. It's not able to be Mekabel Tuma anymore. Now we have a more complicated case. Imagine we have a large barrel, and let's just say it's 12 inches tall, and the bottom 6 inches are perfectly fine. There's nothing wrong with them. However, someone took a hammer and smashed the top part of it. Now the upper 6 inches have a bunch of cracks in them. Some pieces are even knocked off, and that means that all the way at the top, let's say the top 3 inches, have all these jagged edges. So there's 3 different parts of this Kli. The bottom 6 inches, then we have another 3 inches that just have cracks in them, and the top 3 inches of the Kli, we have a few sharp jagged pieces sticking out. So that's what the Mishnah tells us now. Hayu bachi du demyotzim. Let's have these sharp pieces sticking up, but this is in that middle section of 3 inches. So kol mekabel ima bezesim, any part of that Kli, which the holes are still small enough that they could hold olives, meaning if you would fill the bottom 6 inches of the barrel up with olives, let's say, and then you fill up another 3 inches with more olives, and they're not going to escape out the holes, so it's able to be makabel zesim, metame b'maga. That section is going to become tame if someone touches it, or if it was tame already, that food's going to become tame. Ukenegda, and corresponding to that area of the Kli, metame ba'avir, it's metame even in its airspace, and that's because it's still considered 100% part of the main Kli charas of the bottom 6 inches. That's because the holes are not large enough to let an olive out. However, v'chol she'ein makabel ima bezesim, any part of it which is not able to hold olives, meaning that would be the top 3 inches in our example, where there's just a few sharp jagged edges, but if you were to continue filling up this barrel with olives, they would just roll out the top 3 inches because the holes are too big. So then, metame b'maga, that section is metame b'maga because it's just considered an extension of the bottom part. However, v'ein connected metame b'avir, the corresponding area to that part of the Kli is not metame b'avir because it's not considered part of the main Kli Cheretz, it's really just considered an extension of it, so it's not metame b'avir. We have another situation, ha'isa mutal tzida k'mikatedra. Let's say it was leaning on its side. For example, we had a jug or a flask that got cracked in half. Now it's leaning on its side and it's shaped like a katedra. Now, katedra is basically some sort of chair or wagon-like thing that women used to sit in. It had 2 sides, one on the right, one on the left, and then there was the back that they would lean against, which was pretty high. Think like a really cool armchair or perhaps the way that a throne looks. So it has 2 sides, one in the back, and then the front is open, and that's the way that this Kli looks when it's laying down on its side. Because the bottom of the Kli is actually the most full part, that's sticking all the way up, that's like the back, and then the rounded sides of the Kli are on the right and the left, and then the top of the Kli is open in the front. So in this situation, kol mekabel ima bezesim mitame b'maga uchenegdim mitame ba'avir, any area of this Kli that you're able to fill with olives and the olives won't fall out, it could still hold them, so that's mitame not only b'maga, but also corresponds to that area as mitame ba'avir, because that's considered a regular Kli cheres. Whereas v'chol she'ein mekabel ima bezesim, any area that if you would put olives in it, they would fall out, mitame b'maga, it's only mitame b'maga, v'ein connected mitame ba'avir, and corresponding to that area is not mitame in the airspace. Now we have one more case, shulei karpayos v'shulei kaisim hatzidonim, the bottoms of these types of Klis, karpayos and tzidonim, they're called this because they come from these areas. So afal pi she'ein mechayim leishev shalom usmachin, even though they're not able to sit on their own without being supported, tameim they start even mekabel tuma shelkach nasa mitchilason, that's how they were originally made. There's actually interesting types of cooking kelim that have a pointy bottom that you can't just put on the floor. You have to put it in some sort of holder. Still, it can be mekabel tuma, even though it can't stand on its own, because that's that's the way it was designed in the first place, it's meant to be placed on some sort of tripod or holder, and therefore it could still be mekabel tuma. Moving on to Mishnah Dalet, kli charis sheyesh lo shalosh sfayos. We have a regular kli charis that has three lips or rims around it, meaning you have the round bowl on the bottom, and then it narrows at the top for the mouth, and then right by the mouth it widens outwards, kind of like a flower opening up, and it has three different rims, a wide one, medium size, and then a narrow one. Now the Mishnah is going to describe how sometimes the outermost rim was the highest, and the other two were lower down inside. Sometimes the middle of the three was the highest, and sometimes the inner one was the highest and the tallest. Here's the first one. Hapnimis Adefes, if the innermost one is higher than the other two, and then Tumah goes into that one, so Akal Tahar, everything's Tahar over here, because the inner one is higher than the other two ones. So only the inner one is considered to be Tameh, the other ones aren't, because it didn't go into their airspace. Now the other extreme is Hachitzonai Adefes. Let's say the outermost rim is the highest, it's the tallest, and Tumah goes into the airspace of the outer one, Hakal Tameh, so everything's going to be Tameh, because the moment it went to the airspace of the outer one, since that one's higher than everything, that means Mamela, that it went to the airspace of the other ones, so everything's Tameh here. Whereas on Emsoyosai Defes, let's say the middle of the three rims, that's the tallest one, and Tumah goes into the airspace of that, Mimen V'lefnim Tameh, Umen V'lechutz Tahar, whatever's inside of it is Tameh, whatever's outside of it is Tahar. Now what about Hayu Shavois? Let's say all three of these rims were the same height, and Tumah went inside, so Rabbi Huda Emer, he tells us, Chalken Hemsoyos, we divide that middle section, whereas V'chamer, and V'chamer say, Kol Tahar, everything's going to be Tahar. Now the Mishnah concludes with an important din regarding all Klei Cheres, and we have mentioned this previously, but here the Mishnah is speaking it out Beferosh. Klei Cheres Me'imus HaMekabel Tuma. When is it that Klei Cheres are Mekabel Tuma? When is it that a Kli has the ability to be Mekabel Tuma? Mishit Sarfu B'Kivshon, once it gets fired up in the Kivshon, in the kiln, K-I-L-N, this was the special oven that was heated to an extremely high heat, which hardened and strengthened the clay that was put into it. So once it goes into the Kivshon and it comes out, V'hi Gemar Melachton, that's his Gemar Melacha, then it's considered a fully finished Kli, and only then it can be Mekabel Tuma. But if it's still in its original form, it was shaped into a Kli, it looks nice, but it's still fresh clay that wasn't baked yet, so then it can't be Mekabel Tuma. Now the next five prakim, for the most part, we're going to be discussing ovens and stoves, tanur and kirayim. Now the main difference is that a tanur was tall and narrow, it was actually kind of shaped like a cone. It was narrow on top, wide at the bottom, and it's an oven, so it's meant for baking inside. It's actually mostly meant for baking bread. They would put the heat source, the firewood, or whatever it is on the bottom, and they'd put the dough on the sides of the wall of the oven. That's where they used to bake bread back in the day. And a kirayim, which is a stove, is basically shorter and wider because a pot or a pan was placed on top of it, and nothing was really placed inside. Now some of what we had learned at the end of the last Mishnah is that a tanur is not able to be mekabel tuma unless it's finished. Not only do they make the shape of the tanur out of clay, but it has to be heated to a certain degree that strengthens the clay, making it into a proper earthenware oven, and only then it's able to be mekabel tuma. Furthermore, as we're going to see right now, that these things have to be a specific size in order to be able to be mekabel tuma. If it's too small, it's not considered an oven, and even once it is considered an oven, if it gets broken and pieces get chipped off or knocked off or cut off, and then it becomes too small, so also it might lose its status of an oven, and it's not going to be mekabel tuma. So that's what the Mishnah tells us. Tanur, tchilas arba, ushar arba. An oven, its starting point has to be 4 tvachim, and its remnants, its leftovers, have to be 4 tvachim. In other words, if you want it to be considered a tanur, that it can be mekabel tuma, the minimum size it could be is 4 tvachim high, because if not, that's simply too small for it to be an oven. Furthermore, once you have a regular oven, if pieces got knocked off or caught off or broke off or whatever it is, the minimum size it's able to be to still be considered an oven and able to be mekabel tuma is also 4 tvachim. That's Ramer's opinion. Whereas Rechamim and Rechamim say that no, when was it stated begadol, only with a large oven, just like a regular oven that you would use in your home for baking bread, so then what Rameir said is correct. Aval bekatan, we're talking about a small oven, which is basically a play oven that little girls use to bake little pieces of dough. They're not actually making bread in it, but it's still a mini usable oven. Tchilasai kalshuhu, it could even be very small. Kalshuhu over here is actually referring to a tefach, meaning even if it's as small as a tefach, already then it's considered a kli and it could be mekabel tuma. Ushiyarav, and the remnants of a large oven, in order for it to still be mekabel tuma, rubai is the majority of what used to be, even though that's not 4 tfachim. Rav Meir says it has to be minimum size 4 tfachim. However, Lacham say that no. So for example, if the original oven was 7 tfachim high and it broke, but there's still a little bit more than 3.5 tfachim left, so it can be mekabel tuma, even though it's not 4 tfachim, but it's still the majority of what originally was here. Now, when is it able to be mekabel tuma? So mishit gemar melachtoi, from when it's considered completed, when it's finished. And the question is, ezehu gemar melachtoi, when is the gemar melacha of an oven? The answer is, mishit sekenu kedei lefes baisuv ganin, when he heats it up enough that he can bake sufganin in it. Now, sufganin is basically a soft, spongy bread that is made with a very liquidy dough, and the oven doesn't have to be as hot as it would need to be for baking bread. Baking regular bread, it has to be very hot. But sufganin, it doesn't have to be so hot, so as long as the oven was heated up to be able to bake sufganin, so that's considered gemar malach of the oven, and it's eid mekabel tomanel. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda Omer, he says, mishiyasek es hachadash kedei lefais b'yashan sufganin. When he heats up this new oven to the heat that if he would have put this heat in an old oven, it would be able to bake sufganin. So that's considered the gemar malach of the new oven, and it's able to be mekabel toma. And according to Rabbi Yehuda, this is actually less heat necessary than the Tanakama's shita. That's because an old oven, since its insulation works better, that's the way earthenware ovens used to work, the more you use it, the more the insulation holds in the heat and it retains its heat better. So the heat necessary for an old oven to be heated up to be able to bake sufganin is actually less than a new oven. So Rabbi Yehuda requires a little bit less heat.